You can go to CITR.ca and hear the rest of this interview live right now. But thank you, WFMU. Thank you, WFMU. You can fade it out. Wanda Jackson is over on the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show. But before we go, we're back here just for a couple more seconds. Ed, you had something you want to say to Wanda Jackson before we end here.
Well, Wanda, I don't know. Are we signing off with Wanda now?
From Vancouver, yes.
You mean this is all over? I got to say goodbye?
Yes, this is it. This is the end.
Sorry.
I
got to
cry.
Sorry,
okay, man. Well, I have to say this, Wanda, love and kisses from all your fans from all over the world.
Thank you so much, Ed. I appreciate it.
And please come up and play Vancouver sometime. I've seen you in Seattle. I've seen you in Vegas. I got to see you in Bellingham, but I don't sit easy not having seen you right here in my hometown.
Well, make it happen.
And actually, Wanda, as well, Ed has something queued up right now. What are we ending the show with? It's not a Wanda Jackson number. You have something else that you had queued up.
Well, we have an obscure Canadian rockabilly singer, Rilla Mayers, from October 58. This one's called Ask Lucille.
Well, thanks so much again, Wanda Jackson. It's been an honor to have you on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show.
You betcha. It's been an experience, I'll say that.
All right. Well, keep on rocking in the free world and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
Thank you.
What's his name? Ask Lucille. What's his name? Ask Lucille. Does he plan to stay around?
Following is a live presentation of CITR News.
CITR 101.9 FM presents News 101, Vancouver's volunteer-produced student and community newscast.
Now here's your host, Brad Pepping.
Good evening. On the program today, we'll be hosting an all-candidate debate in studio with the candidates for President and VP Academic for the upcoming AMS elections. With this, we'll be bringing you the word on the street, student voices with reporters Andrew Longhurst, Emanuela Orsini, and Ian Turner. We'll have all this, plus your weekend weather forecast, coming up this hour right here on News 101. But first, in local news, a countrywide campaign to address Prime Minister Stephen Harper's proroguing of Parliament will hit the streets tomorrow, with some visual help from the Liberal Party. Liberal MP Libby Davies is encouraging concerned Vancouverites to pick up a Canada flag from her office in preparation of a no-prorogue rally. Following the town hall meeting that saw some 1,200 students and community members come out to listen to opposition leader Michael Ignatieff last week on campus, and a Facebook group that has reached over 200,000 members, the event at the Vancouver Art Gallery tomorrow afternoon appears to be attracting a great deal of interest. With 50 scheduled events from Vancouver to Halifax and including protests at Canadian consulates and embassies in Dallas, Texas and London, England, the event promises to be nonpartisan, but still remains a concern for most Canadians. In more campus news, the Social Justice Center is hosting their third annual Rethinking the Olympics conference from the 26th to the 28th of January. In an effort to promote a reimagination of the impact of the Olympics, as well as to foster dialogue between all concerned students, staff, and community members, the 3-D event kicks off with a Rethink the Olympics panel on Tuesday, January 26th, and closes with a Celebrating Resistance bash Thursday night, January 28th. Finally, in more campus news, if you plan to attend an upcoming Thunderbirds hockey, volleyball, or basketball game, 50% of the $10 ticket will be donated to ongoing Haitian orphan relief efforts. Donations will go to feed and support the new orphans brought to the facility, which currently houses 75 orphans and runs a school for 450. It's now time for a break, but stay tuned for more national and provincial news. You're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And when you come back, we'll be hosting an all candidates debate with the candidates for AMS President and VP Academic.
LiveVan.com is Vancouver's most reputable community-driven concert calendar. New shows are listed daily by the city's most prominent promoters, but also by you. The musicians and fans were the driving force of our local music scene. LiveVan.com's listings are different because they're personalized. They're integrated with local music directories that are constantly updated by the bands, musicians, and businesses who refer to them as they pick locations and lineups for their newest upcoming shows. And no one's barred from contributing, since we all know fans know more about the players than anyone. So visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest major and independent event listings. And while you're at it, check out our archives and discover how closely we all work together in this community, putting on the shows you love.
CITR News is committed to providing you with in-depth Olympic coverage from an alternative perspective. As part of this coverage, we are launching a new Eyes on the Street feature, where Vancouverites will have a chance to tell their Olympic story. We want to hear your perspective on life in Vancouver during the Games. That's why we're inviting you to be CITR's Eyes on the Street this February. If you're at an event, a protest, a celebration, or even simply on the bus, tell us about it. There are three ways to file a report. Call our Eyes on the Street hotline at 604-822-5334. Email news at citr.ca or tweet CITR News. Then sit back and wait for your report to be featured on the next edition of News 101, which airs Monday and Friday at 5 p.m. right here on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Tuesday, February 23rd, beginning at sunset in Montreal, broadcasting live on your local campus and community radio station.
Sometimes we get that instant homelessness. We didn't expect to be homeless, and we find ourselves on the street because of an eviction or a notice.
Canada's largest talk show on poverty and homelessness.
We have a mayor who compared poor people to pigeons publicly and said that if you stop feeding them, they'll go away.
The 8th Annual Homelessness Marathon, broadcasting February 23rd to 24th. A 14-hour live radio show from frozen street corners across Canada. Call in live, join the discussion.
Our demand from the federal government is $2 billion a year for social housing units across Canada. That'll just help us to start catching up to the 15 years that we've lost in building social housing in this country. It's really a glaring example of the negligence of the government.
Visit www.ckut.ca for more info.
The Homelessness Marathon will be broadcasting live from Vancouver on Tuesday, February 23rd at 8 p.m. as CITR 101.9 FM partners with CJSF 90.1 FM and Co-op 102.7 FM to bring you an hour of interviews and stories of how the 2010 Olympics are affecting homelessness in Vancouver. Visit CITR.ca for more information.
Welcome back. You're listening to News 101. I'm Brad Pepink, live in the Student Union Building. Earlier today, reporters Andrew Longhurst, Emanuela Orsini, and Ian Turner spoke to students on the UBC campus about the upcoming AMS elections. Here's what matters to them for the 2010 elections.
I'm worried about the environment a lot and like what they can... what UBC students can do to help the environment, and that's really important. And also just what kind of really cool student-run events we can have at UBC.
I don't really follow it.
I didn't even know there was an election.
Will you be voting next week?
Probably not.
Just how, I think the new bus loop issue was something that my friend was mentioning. I was interested in hearing about, and just staying like transparency, like letting students know what's going on and like what's going on with like the funds and just general stuff like that.
Public image of AMS on the whole and cohesion between council members. And I would also say things like the future of campus development. I'd like to see AMS playing a larger role with campus and community planning and what's going to be happening with developments all over the campus, not just on the south end of the campus.
Quality tuition fees, I want them to be reduced and I can't think of anything else.
I'm not sure. I don't really pay attention to it. It's time first year.
To be honest, I don't live on campus, but I'm not too aware of what's going on on campus. So.
I'm an exchange student. I'm not sure to be able to, like, I know what it is, but, like, I'm not from Canada, so...
Okay, but is there anything you think is going to need to do with more than both?
I think tuition fees are one of the main issues, but after I don't know what are the main subjects that are, yeah. I don't know what are the powers of people who are in the IMS console, so I think the Board of Governors is more important. So I don't really know. Sorry.
I'm not really current with the AMS election, but apparently there's been a lot of scandals going on, and I think we need some new leaders to get rid of the scandal and make sure that our student society life is run correctly.
Well, I, to be honest, I don't know what the platforms are, but I think that an issue as an international student that every year we look to see if they're addressing is the issue of student housing. As international students, the UBC doesn't provide priority for us in student housing in the lottery. And fair enough, there are a lot of students that have come from far away in Canada and so on and so forth. However, they grew up in Canada and they have family nearby. Or if they don't have family nearby, this is their culture. This is a society that they grew up living in. And therefore, it's a lot easier than for them to integrate into living off campus. And they have easier access to things like guarantors and so on and so forth that you may need when you're leasing an apartment. Whereas international students don't have that possibility, and we don't even get a say, or we don't get any kind of priority, any kind of assistance from housing and conferences when it comes to applying for residence. For those who do decide to stay on campus, some people prefer not to, but for those who do, we're a very small demographic as far as UBC is concerned. I think that they should be more concerned with whether or not we have a place to stay in the beginning of the year. And the other issue I suppose that every international student is concerned about is the school fees. Our school fees, fair enough, we aren't Canadian citizens and we haven't grown up with our families paying taxes, and Canadians have, and that's why their education is subsidized. But our education isn't subsidized, and every single year we have our education, our tuition fees going up. They keep saying it's by a small percentage, but 2% or 5% of 20,000 is a lot of money. Like, and it's something that I think that the student body should be concerned about, and if there's somebody out there who is willing to advocate for us, that would be great.
Was reporter Andrew Longhurst, reporters Manuela Orsini and Ian Turner speaking with UBC students earlier today about the upcoming AMS elections. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we have the candidates for the AMS president position live in studio for an all-candidate debate. Make sure you don't miss that. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
Thanks to sky-high gas prices, we can convince America that more drilling is the answer. High gas prices? Drill more. Prices still high? Try drilling in a wildlife refuge or off a nice beach.
Our traditional energy resources are limited. Luckily, it's easy for students like you to conserve energy.
Woke up late for class? Buy some time in the morning by taking a shorter shower. Cut down by 1 minute every day and save enough to fund your daily caffeine fix for over a week. Plus, you save on electricity and water. Install a water-saving showerhead to save even more.
For more energy-saving tips, go to www.bchydro.com. This message brought to you by BC Hydro and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Hey, good morning, Matt and Meredith, and I can tell you already Canada is ready.
ready for the spotlight, for their shining moment.
There's a moment in time coming for Canada, and we're all going to be part of it, and it's not going to be something that we so much watch, but we own it. It's ours. But we own it. It's ours. It's ours. It's ours. It's ours.
John Furlong promised that the Olympics would be ours. But time and time again, we've seen that the Games have only taken the city away from us, displacing the homeless, criminalizing poverty, causing vast environmental degradation, and exchanging our civil liberties for the corporate spectacle. See the Olympics in a whole new light at the Rethinking the Olympics conference, organized by the UBC Social Justice Center and held in the Sub January 26th to 28th. Learn more at panels on Rethinking the Olympics, on the impact on housing, and on the student and activism. Dive in with an interactive workshop on art and activism, a workshop from Food Not Bombs Vancouver, and a Know Your Rights workshop from the BC Civil Liberties Association. Check out The Coca-Cola Case, a film spotlighting the labor policies of the Olympic sponsor, and celebrate with drinks and music at the Grad Student Center Penthouse. Go to www.resistubc.com for more information, or search Rethinking the Olympics Conference under Facebook Events. And keep your eyes open for events on campus January 26th to 28th.
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:17. Thanks for joining us tonight. Right now, live in studio, we have the three candidates for AMS president. I have in studio, in alphabetical order, Bijan Amadian, Natalie Swift, and Sean Kim. And to our knowledge, Pak Ho Leung, who's still part of the candidacy, has not shown up for this debate, so he will not be part of this. Thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it. To start, I want to go over the debate rules, and they are as follows. We will pose one question to all the candidates. They will have 1 minute to respond, and following the other two responses, we will allow a 30-second rebuttal from each candidate. Are we all right with that? That works for everyone? Great. So to start, for the presidential debate, I'm going to ask that you please introduce yourself to our listeners and that you tell students why they should vote for you. We're going to start at the other end with Bijan.
My name is Bijan Amadian. I am a current member of the Board of Governors, running for AMS president to focus on three issues. On campus, student housing that's affordable, upgrading the transit system, and also focusing on enhancing student financial aid. I am running in order to put students back in the driver's seat and to hold the university accountable for the decisions that they make for students.
Now go to Natalie. Natalie, please introduce yourself to our listeners and tell students why they should vote for you.
Sure. My name's Natalie Swift. It's my third year at UBC, but I'm in my fourth year of studies. And the reason there's a bit of discrepancy there is I spent 3 years in college before I came to UBC. So why should you vote for me? Well, I've proven myself over time to be someone who's a conscientious leader, who can respect the diverse interests of students on this campus. I've also been a leader during difficult times for students in college, VP academic. I was president and student governor at that college during a difficult time when there was a faculty strike, along with a provincial push after the lifting of a tuition freeze, and I led a massive campaign there. So I've got that kind of experience, and I've got a focus on reviewing our financial barriers to students and kind of opening it up to a campus-wide consultation. And I've had experiences with a provincial student group, so I'd really like to see that happen here. And I also want to improve the strength of student voice.
Thank you, Natalie. We now turn to Sean. Sean, please introduce yourself to our listeners and tell students why they should vote for you.
Hello, my name is Sean Kim. I'm a third-year art student. So one of the reasons why I'm running right now is that we're in a new age where everything is done by internet. So much information is available online that you could pretty much get all the information or any kind of education through online. So for example, you could watch like Harvard lecture, MIT lecture through YouTube. Also, you could search anything on Wikipedia and it's going to give you the answer. So my question is, what is university doing right now in order to get over that? So we need some leader who understand this new technology and new era and bring a new initiative so that our education will go above and beyond what is out there, and we're going to be a leader in a new society.
Great. Thank you guys all very much for those introductions. Now we're going to switch up the order. We're going to go to Natalie, then to Sean, then to Bijan. Natalie, can you answer this first? What is your opinion regarding the ongoing relationship between the university and VanOck?
As far as I know, I think the relationship has been quite secretive, so it's really hard to comment on it, and I find that really frustrating for students. At the same time, I think we haven't been as flexible as we should be as an AMS in opening up and having discussions with VanOck. So overall, there hasn't really been the transparency that I think students need to really be able to respond properly when the Olympics come and to be aware of what's going on.
Thank you, Natalie. Sean, same question.
Yeah, so I know that VanEck has been hiring a lot of students on campus, and I know some of my friends who apply for it, and then they're working for the Olympics. So the thing is, the school is going to be closed for 2 weeks during the Olympic, and I think a lot of students are a little bit concerned about it as well, because the school is just going to be shut down for 2 weeks, whereas in the past, it was just only 1 week where we had a spring break. So that's one of the things that we need to concern about, I think, because we will be kind of behind 1 week. So what are we going to do to during those 1 week? And also, in terms of a student participation for the Olympic, I think it is really important that we let the students know that there's an Olympic happening at UBC, and really bring out the participation of the students so that they will really fully be engaged in this 2010 Vancouver Olympic.
Great, thank you very much. And now lastly, Bijan, same question.
I agree that the relationship between university and VanEck is a lot closer than the relationship between VanEck and students. Now, let's look at the reason for that. VanEck invited the AMS, in particular, the president and VP external, to sit on a steering committee. And because of those executives' behavior, they ended up being excluded from the meeting. As a result of that, students were not in the room when very important decisions were being made. For example, one of the major effects of it is that now we don't have a strategy for student engagement when the Olympic is coming to UBC for the first time. And the world is coming here. So irreversible damage happens when there's no relationship with the university. I have an experience working with the university productively, and I'm putting that into use here in order to put students back in the driver's seat.
Great, thank you very much. We're now going to go for a rebuttal. For that, we're going to start with Sean. Sean, you'll have 30 seconds. After 30 seconds, you'll be interrupted. After that, we'll have Bijan. You'll have 30 seconds for a rebuttal. And lastly, Natalie, you will have 30 seconds for a rebuttal. Sean, first, you can respond to whatever any of the candidates have said. Okay, we're going to move on now to Bijan. Bijan, if you want to further. Okay, and Natalie, do you have a rebuttal?
Yeah, I do. Perhaps there were some poor decisions made in the past, but I think it could really, really easily be remedied in the future. And I think that my plan, if you look at my platform, shows something that's really respectful in the sense that I want to ensure that everyone knows that all students are aware of what's going on campus, having a more transparent AMS when it comes to information regarding the Olympics. And I would just want to make sure that students feel safe to do whatever they want to do during the Olympics. That if they want to protest, they can. If they want to celebrate, they can. The AMS is just going to support them and help them feel safe in any of those initiatives.
Great, thank you. We're going to move on to the next question. Just to let you know, the order of this question is going to be Bijan, Natalie, followed by Sean. Bijan, what are your motivations for seeking this position? You have 1 minute.
I have been serving on the university's Board of Governors for about 2 years now, and I have been frustrated when it comes to getting things done for students because the students have been constantly sabotaged by the irresponsible leadership at the AMS. I am doing a combined degree in law and MBA, and I was on my way to graduate, but I decided that I felt an obligation, really, to postpone my graduation by a year, step in, and run for AMS president so that I can use my productive relationship and my history at UBC, getting things done, bringing tangible results for students in order to repair relationship with UBC and provincial government so that we can get things done again for students and we can hold UBC and provincial government accountable for the decisions they make.
That was Bijan. We now turn to Natalie. Natalie, you have 1 minute.
Sure. I just want to point out, I don't want to get too caught up in the past. Yes, we have to fix some relationships, and we have to do that for sure. But I'll tell you, that's not my only motivation. That helps spur me on. But really, it's the consistency that I've held regarding the value of what a student union is. And for me, when you break down the absolute basic value of students coming together and taking ownership of their degree, no matter the size of the institution or what they're doing, I think that's a really strong thing. And I think we need to forget about all the bureaucracy and all the bigger things that happen within the AMS and remember that every once in a while. And then you can see the positive. And that's what I want to represent at this university, students taking ownership of their degree.
Thank you. And Sean, what are your motivations for seeking this position? You have 1 minute.
So I think one of the main reasons why all the students at UBC are studying at UBC is because to find a good career after they graduate. But I think too often we find unemployment and financial struggle after graduation. So I think that there should be some kind of initiative made in order to fix that problem. And one of the things that I want to introduce is actually called a student wealth center, where students can have practical learning opportunities that are not taught in classroom, so that they will be ready financially and they will have the job that they want. And so that, like with this student center, students can be prepared when they go outside. And that's one of the main reasons why I want to run for this campaign.
Great. We're going to go to rebuttal. For that, we're going to go in the order of Natalie, Sean, and Bijan. Natalie, you have 30 seconds. Sean and Bijan, you also have 30 seconds. Natalie?
Yeah, I would just be curious as to Bijan's other motivations that are not necessarily so focused on the past.
We're going to jump now to Sean. Sean, do you have a rebuttal? And Bijan, you have 30 seconds.
I think that when Natalie says the history is something that is not immediately relevant, she's incorrect there, because the history has led to the president of UBC sending a letter to the AMS essentially saying we don't have a productive relationship. And, you know, I you can't answer this, Natalie, but I guess the question that everyone should ask is, what is one example of one thing that you have done on this campus that you can pinpoint as a tangible result?
We're going to be moving on. My next question is going to Sean first, Sean to Bijan, then Natalie. Sean, what is your opinion on the proposed engagement levy, where students will see a $5 levy reimbursed once they cast their ballot? Is this the best way to encourage on-campus student engagement? Sean, you have 1 minute.
So in terms of a $5 levy, I think that one of the things that we must do is to let the student know that there's an increase and then what this increase is for, because a lot of students are not aware of this kind of increase at school. And in terms of student engagement, I think there are many other ways that we could go about that. I think one of the things that we could do is a strategy that's used by psychology and HSP studies. So what they're doing is that they're offering a extra credits for being engaged in volunteer opportunities, also a campus events. So I think that when we do this kind of when we use this kind of strategy, this will definitely bring out more student engagement in school.
Now we turn to Bijan. Bijan, you have 1 minute.
I don't like the referendum. This is not how you engage students with $5. $5 stick. Students, we have a very diverse student community, and I know that because I have been an engineering student, a law student, and an MBA student. Athletes have very different kind of interests when it comes to engagement than commuter students, than people living in residences. This year, we had a campus plan consultation, and our challenge was engagement. What we did was we recognized that the university is doing a terrible job at advertising consultation. So I went to the university and I said, why don't you allow students to do this? So we created a student group who went out and put together a campaign to bring a substantially larger number of students to the consultation this year than we've ever seen. That is what I call engagement, when students get involved in engaging other students.
And lastly, Natalie, your answer to what is your opinion on the proposed engagement levy, where students will see a $5 levy reimbursed once they cast their ballot? Is this the best way to encourage on-campus student engagement?
All right, I do want to just have a quick response to Bijan's previous question. Tangible result? I was on the sub-renew committee when it first started, and I helped get that whole process off the ground. And I edited the lighter footprint strategy and held consultations for that. So I got some key AMS initiatives going. In regards to the engagement levy, I agree it's not the best way to engage students. I'm also concerned about how that money will be used. I think, honestly, the best way to engage students is to make a credible AMS. If we don't have a credible AMS that they can trust, why would they want to be engaged? And that's my response to that.
And we're going to have a 30-second rebuttal from all candidates, beginning with Bijan, then Natalie, then Sean. Bijan, you can respond to any candidate.
I think what Natalie is doing when it comes to the sub-negotiation is taking credit for teamwork. Sub-negotiation was a team effort, and unfortunately, there has been some unproductive work on it, because it's taken us 2 years and we don't have an agreement yet. Recently, we've made some good progress, but again, it was teamwork. The kind of accomplishment that I'm talking about is when you have taken on something and you've brought it home by yourself. Like, for example, the way I did the work on the hospice, changing the location of that. The way we went back to the university and said we need to change the viewing of marked exam policy. The way I went to the university and said we need to automate the MBA fees, and took a leadership role on that. And where have you taken a leadership role on something?
And now for rebuttal, we go to Natalie. Natalie, you have 30 seconds.
Sure, Bijan. So I haven't been here for 11 years, but I've done a whole lot in the 2.5 that I have been here. Notably, I was focused on going back to forestry students this year. I absolutely led the whole process in getting an important unifying event called Branching Out that happened last week, where I brought together every program in my faculty, grads, undergrads, people in the community, to discuss the relevancy of their degree and how they're going to apply it in a time that's really tough for forestry right now. So I showed an incredible amount of leadership in that. I'm sorry that it wasn't across campus, but that wasn't my focus this year. I took some time off from the AMS to focus on the forestry students that I was representing.
And lastly, Sean, you have 30 seconds to rebut. All right, we're going to give you each 1 minute for closing statements in the way that our debate has gone. That structure is going to allow Natalie to go first, followed by Sean and Bijan. Natalie, you have 1 minute. Sean, you'll have 1 minute. And Bijan, you'll have 1 minute to sum up. Natalie?
So I think things got a little tense there. That's not what I'm about. I'd rather sit down and talk about things and come together more as a team. I agree with Bijan's statements about teamwork, and that's totally what I'm about. I've had roles in all sorts of different types of teams, and I'd be more than happy to lead the executive team and council coming together in a more positive light and overall representing students in a more inclusive manner.
Thank you, Natalie. Sean, you have 1 minute for closing statement.
Yeah, so I just want to end by saying that I think it is really important we emphasize more student read rather than really focusing on the politic itself, because I think too often we kind of get lost in politics. And we have to look at what students really need in terms of like what they're going to do after they graduate. What their like actual need is like right now. What are some of the things that's going to impact them like right now with their education? Because that I think that we're, like I've mentioned, I think we're living in a new age where everything is changing so fast that we have to really keep up with it and then go even beyond what's happening around the world so that our students, when they graduate, they'll be a leader in the society, and they'll also have education that will help them become somebody that unlike other people in the world. So I think it is really important that we focus on the students and teach them the things that they want and then offer them what they want.
Great. Thanks, Sean. And lastly, Bijan, you have 1 minute for closing statements.
I'd like to first of all agree with Natalie in terms of things getting a little too tense. I personally have a lot of respect both for Natalie and Sean. They're incredible people. This election and this position particularly, I think, comes to experience. We've had an AMS that had a very, very unproductive relationship with a provincial government, with the university, with the Alumni Association, with the University Neighborhood Association, and we need to rebuild that in order to empower students. Right now, UBC is in the top 40 universities globally, is striving to be in the top 20. And as someone who sat on the Board of Governors, sometimes I feel that UBC is driving to the top with students kind of sitting in the backseat. I am running as AMS president to put students back in the driver's seat and empower them.
Well, thank you all very much for your time. We certainly do appreciate hearing from our AMS president candidates. We're going to please stay tuned. When you come back, Vice President for Academic is going to be, both candidates are going to be in studio with us, and we're going to hear from them. This is News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and I lastly would like to thank the candidates one more time for coming down.
CITR News is committed to providing you with in-depth Olympic coverage from an alternative perspective. As part of this coverage, we are launching a new Eyes on the Street feature, where Vancouverites will have a chance to tell their Olympic story. We want to hear your perspective on life in Vancouver during the Games. That's why we're inviting you to be CITR's Eyes on the Street this February. If you're at an event, a protest, a celebration, or even simply on the bus, tell us about it. There are three ways to file a report. Call our Eyes on the Street hotline at 604-822-5334. Email news at citr.ca or tweet CITR News. Then sit back and wait for your report to be featured on the next edition of News 101, which airs Monday and Friday at 5 p.m. right here on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
In 1936, the Nazis introduced the Olympic torch relay to the world.
Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil!
Wake up! Since then, the Olympics have acted as a fascist Trojan horse, masquerading as an international sporting event, but benefiting the military-industrial complex, sucking billions of taxpayer dollars from host cities, displacing the homeless, criminalizing the poor.
devastating the environment, and stealing indigenous lands. In 2010, the Olympic spectacle descends upon Vancouver. But a vibrant movement has been resisting these games, disrupting the torch relay all over Canada, educating the public about this corporate sham, and organizing a massive anti-Olympic mobilization. This February 10th to the 15th, all roads lead to Vancouver. The Olympic Resistance Network calls on all anti-capitalist, indigenous, housing rights, labor, migrant justice, environmental, anti-war, community-loving, anti-poverty, civil libertarian, and anti-colonial activists to come together to confront this two-week circus and the oppression it represents. Visit the following websites for news and information about the Olympic Resistance Movement. No2010.com, OlympicResistance.net, Vancouver.MediaCoop.ca, and Submedia.tv. See you in the streets.
CITR 101.9 presents the Ice Cream Social at the Pit Pub.
Ice Cream Social, your favorite weekly night of 50s and 60s dance tunes, is coming to UBC.
CITR DJs Tyler Fredchuk and Cam Dales will be down at the Pit Pub on Thursday, January 28th from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. with cool tunes and sweet deals on drinks.
Support your independent campus radio station by coming down to the Pit and partying with us.
Learned about the birds and the bees? Want to learn more about the birds and the bees and the berries, urban agriculture, delicious homegrown food, solar energy, and much more? Check out the Society Promoting Environmental Conservation. Come to one of our workshops, join our solar panel tour, or go to our website www.spec.bc.ca for more information.
Welcome back. In studio, we were hoping to have all the candidates for VP Academic to continue this all-candidate debate in preparation for the UBC AMS election this coming week. However, unfortunately, we are only here with one of our candidates for VP Academic, so we will continue with the debate. However, we're simply going to be interviewing rather than having a formal debate format. Before we go to that, I am proud to say that our weather lady is here, our lovely, lovely weather lady. And Denise, I was hoping you could give us our weekend weather. What's in store for us?
Oh, but of course. Hope everyone enjoyed the sunshine today. Here's your weekend weather forecast for January 22nd to 24th. Low pressure systems have mainly been concentrating south along the west coast, leaving Vancouver with a fairly glorious week for this time of year. Light skies should continue into the weekend. Tonight should be mostly clear, with a low of 3 degrees. Saturday will be partly cloudy, high of 8, low of 4. Sunday, high of 9, low of 4, with a small chance of showers moving along the coast of Vancouver. And here's the answer from last week's trivia. The highest officially recorded wind speed on Earth is 372 kph, or 231 miles per hour. It was logged on at the 12th of April, 1934, at New Hampshire's Mount Washington Observatory. We'll have another trivia question for next week. Enjoy your weekend. Currently, it's 6 degrees at YVR. For News 101, I'm Denise Diotic.
Denise, thank you so much for that. We do appreciate it, and I hope that some of our listeners were able to get that answer. That's very interesting. All right, back in studio, I have Ben Kepelacci, who is a candidate for VP Academic, and unfortunately, the other candidate for this position has not shown up. However, we would like to continue with this, and so I'm going to be asking in a similar way that we had our previous debate. I'll ask you a question, and you'll have 2 minutes to answer. To begin, I was hoping that you could introduce yourself, and could you tell us and our listeners what your priorities are?
Hi, I'm Ben Capolacci. I don't think I can kind of deliver the same thing that the last debate did. However, I'll do my best. I'm a third-year commerce student majoring in marketing and international business, and I'm currently a student senator here at UBC as well as a director of the AMS SafeWalk program. I stand for students who are responsible. I stand for making sure that the university dialogue between the AMS is appropriate and productive for all students.
Great, thank you. Ben, I was wondering, how will you ensure the quality of teaching at UBC remains high in face of concerns that universities are becoming degree mills?
That's an issue that I've had a lot of concern about myself. Primarily, the first-year classes have been a big issue for me. Classes with titles like Econ 101, Psych 101 have been a really big fundamental issue because the quality of education in those classes I find are lacking, and that student engagement and student interest in those subjects are extremely important. I feel that the use of the feedback forms that all students submit at the end of their classes can be put into a more strategic way to ensure that students know what classes they're going into and ensure that the learning that they come out with is a lot better.
And so just to confirm, what you're proposing is a way in which students will have access to the information other students have provided on course evaluations.
Yeah. And then at the same time, working with the university to maybe review these courses and basically develop a better system by which these courses can be reviewed and monitored to ensure that the foundational learning that occurs in them is the kind of learning that students need.
Okay, moving on. How would you address the AMS structural deficit? In other words, how will you reduce costs?
The AMS structural deficit is one that I've been a bit involved with this year. SafeWalk is the most expensive service here at UBC. The budget is fairly significant, and there's been a lot of talk about cutting SafeWalk as a service. And while I am the director of SafeWalk, I think that the service is pretty valuable, and I've been trying my hardest to make sure that it is valuable. But there are a lot of areas within the AMS that I feel need a bit of review when it comes to the kind of expenses and the kind of costs that come through. I feel that within my own service, within SafeWalk, there are a lot of costs that can be brought down, but at the same time, I think it's a matter of looking at what AMS is trying to provide to students, at the same time looking at where AMS could be spending less money in certain ways. Recently, there's been a lot of talk about increasing student fees for the AMS, and I think that this is not really maybe the best idea because AMS has a lot of money right now, but they just need to look at spending it a lot more efficiently.
And how would you address the issues that have arisen or that have been brought to your attention in terms of UBC being one of the only Canadian universities that actually has a SafeWalk program that costs so much? And I believe that the amount the SafeWalk program costs the university or costs the AMS is equivalent to that of our deficit. How would you address the concerns that this is a program offered for free by most Canadian universities and its abolition would result in, evening out our deficit?
The budget of SafeWalk is equivalent to roughly half the deficit that the AMS is currently holding right now. What that really means to me is that the AMS needs to look at whether or not it's still worth keeping SafeWalk around. I've been in communication with a lot of other SafeWalk coordinators from around the country, essentially, and who do operate these volunteer-based services. In a lot of cases, these volunteers, they have a lot of difficulties with HR problems, people not coming into work on time, and etc. And the big advantage of SafeWalk here at UBC is that we employ nearly 60 students on campus, many of whom are international students, and this is their bread and butter. This is how they afford to live on campus day in and day out. That being said, I think that SafeWalk has a role to play when it comes to ensuring campus safety, and maybe working with campus security to develop a less costly initiative in the future would be in order.
And my last question for you, what governance model is in the best interest of UBC students? Should UBC join the city of Vancouver, become its own municipality, or stick with the status quo?
That's a very, very complex issue. I've done a lot of thinking about this, and I've talked with quite a few people. The recent problems that we've had with Metro Vancouver and UBC come from essentially both sides. However, I think that in the end of the day, the university is really trying to make the best decisions it can for students and to continue the quality of education that exists here at UBC. While that doesn't mean that UBC should have sole control over the land usage, over parking tickets, over SOLs and noise complaints, I think that with proper student consultation at UBC, I think that UBC can make the right kind of decisions that will benefit students in the long run.
Well, thank you very much for joining us in studio today. We do appreciate it, and best of luck in the coming week. And that's our program for January 22nd, 2010. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. If you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with a show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email news@citr.ca. Andrew Longhurst produced this radio program. For more news, join us this Monday at 5 p.m. for another edition of News 101. And join us this Monday especially because we will have the remaining vice presidential candidates for the AMS election for another all-candidate debate. I'm Brad Pepink, and from the entire news team at CITR, thanks for listening. Stay tuned now for play-by-play sports right here on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver.